I'm playing the Copland Clarinet Concerto, written for Benny Goodman, and it's kind of a jazzy piece, very cool piece. And you know, I just kind of remembered this last night that Benny Goodman's from Chicago too. So I'm from Chicago, Benny's from Chicago, Obama's from Chicago, kind of. You know, so a lot of cool things going on tonight. So it should be fun.
It is a jazzy piece. Benny Goodman was a jazzer who came into the classical music world for that. You're a classical guy. Does it mean that the way you approach it is different? Like, are there no lines, no barriers? How do you see this?
It's interesting because the piece obviously is written by Copland. So Benny Goodman started playing classical like kind of later in his career, and so the piece is really classical, you know, in its structure in a way, except for the big cadenza that's very jazz-like. I kind of come at it like any other classical piece that I perform. Except, you know, there are rhythms written in that are jazzier. There are kind of tonalities that are jazzier. So that makes the piece like a little bit different, a little bit maybe more fun, you know, more just different, improvisatory even, you know. So it's actually a really great piece to play. It's because it has the classical aspects, it has the jazz aspects, which I never get a chance to really play jazz or anything. So it's has enough elements in it that it's like really fun and different for me to do.
And you must try to have to try to swing it and stuff too.
Yeah, there's some so there's a little bit of swing in it as well. Yeah, so it's very cool.
Inauguration Day, this is sort of a then and now question, 4 years ago and today. Tell me what's going on.
Well, it's actually really interesting to be kind of not in DC today because you know, I never really paid attention to inaugurations before the, you know. And so my first inauguration was the one I was kind of a part of. And to see it on TV now, I'm like, oh, that camera shot, I was sitting like kind of where that camera is. And it's just kind of that part of it is amazing that I got to see and be there and see all those people. And I think that, you know, kind of on a personal level, the experience was so life-changing for me, and you know, I'll never forget it. And you know, forgetting about the history of it and the kind of grandiose things that have to do with the inauguration. I mean, I just love. I'm feeling like all this love, thinking about 4 years ago, and a lot of. I feel very grateful to have been a part of it. You know, so it's just kind of. Shocking right now. It's like, I wish I was there, but you know, I have it inside, you know, because I was there for the last one, kind of.
Right. Now, much has been written. It's a well-covered, documented story by many great writers and so forth about the Black experience in America. I don't know that we've checked in so much with your generation. So, you know, here we're having the second inauguration of the first Black president from Chicago, and you grew up in Chicago. What's that like?
Well, it's a great question, and it would take a very long answer to kind of describe what is it, you know, being Black in America, in Chicago, growing up in Chicago, and when did I grow up here? The early 90s, I suppose. Yeah, I'm revealing my age now. It's an interesting day because MLK Day, you don't take for granted the fact that people had to struggle, people had to die to get the right to vote, you know. And the issue is that, you know, when I was growing up, all of these things that were taken for granted, that, you know, diversity in classical music, diversity in the world, in the workplace, this is new, you know, in America. It's new. And, you know, as a kid, you know, we read about, you know, the civil rights movement, and we heard from our parents about, you know, my dad grew up in the South and, you know, had to sit in the colored balcony. And, you know, these are the things before people migrated up north to Chicago. And these things you only hear about in our generation. And yet, days like today, we're lucky to actually be able to appreciate what the struggles have accomplished, what the what all of those people that fought for these rights and how America has come and embraced equality and diversity and all of these other things in so many ways, how kind of beautiful that is. And, you know, there are lots of things that can still be done for equality of for all types of people, different people, religions, et cetera. It's something that really is important. And I think that a day like today, we kind of all take stock and say America is a great place where change can happen and will happen, and that we can move forward to something greater. You know, it's amazing.
I do remember, and I have seen change, and it's mind-boggling because it is so recent. But Barack Obama, in a way, he not only proves something, but he's also showing the way. He's definitely standing on the shoulders of the people before him. But he also is such an inspiring person that he must be turning a lot of heads for people who are harder to turn, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, what's not talked about is that Barack Obama is biracial. You know, he grew up kind of internationally. He's American in like kind of the most American sense, in a way. And I think that he's a great example and role model for, you know, for lots of people, you know, not just one particular community, but lots of people relate to his story. And I think it is amazing when you think about that, how his presence, the fact that he exists, you know, in this situation, is a testament to the changing of times and coming together of different worlds. And I think it's very interesting to think about that. I mean, you could have long late night conversations about this sort of thing, and it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, that's so brilliantly said, because it's like he's a model for the human spirit in a way.
Yeah. There are always different aspects to everyone, to the world, the way the world works. And it's just it's very interesting when you can kind of you see someone and he can be a role model for so many different people. You know growing up in here in Chicago, I had great role models who were my parents. They were the most immediate ones, and you know, they were always very big into history and education and how you should know your history in order to be able to achieve things. You should be educated in order to move forward.
We now have the pleasure of having Steve Williamson here, who's just such a beautiful player. He must have grown and learned and gotten so much from sitting in your chair, listening to great singers. Do you feel that connection, that you're listening to singers and somehow that's something that you can take into the way you play?
Yeah, I mean, getting the opportunity to listen to those great singers is so amazing. And, you know, we sat in the same chair, but on different nights, you know, because we were co-principal. So we never got to sit there together and listen to them. But it is such a privilege to hear those fabulous singers. That, yes, I think it makes you sound and play in such a vocal way, and to associate, you know, instrumental playing with this sound, this singing, beautiful voice. And you can't help but absorb that into your own essence, your own being, and into your playing. And it is such an honor. And you know, there aren't very many evenings where I don't come away with something that is beautiful, that I enjoy, that happened that night, that I will never hear again. And that sort of experience is really, I feel very lucky to be a part of that. Yeah.
It's not like chamber music, But in some sense, you know, the principal clarinet in an opera orchestra is so important because there is a lot of interplay between the vocal writing and the clarinet. So, I mean, maybe it is. I mean, is there something chamber-like where like you'll hear something and do you try to adapt your playing to what the singer's doing?
Yeah. It's very much like chamber music, I think, in the opera orchestra, because you're constantly listening to the stage, following the stage, moving along. You know, occasionally we'll have a conductor come in, and at first the conductor will think that they're really going to direct the ship, kind of. And then, you know, we get to the first performance or second performance, and all of a sudden everyone settles down because we all, you know, realize he or she realizes that, you know, the singers we're going to follow them at times. They're going to follow us. We're going to follow the conductor, go with the conductor sometimes. The conductor's going to go with the singer sometimes. So there are these three entities. And then within that, of course, you have the individual parts that we have to play our role. We have to know there are some things that cannot be done by following the conductor, but can only be done by following the singer. And they know which those parts are. So if it's a duet that you have an identical part, no one really knows what the singer is going to do exactly. So in that moment, that evening, it's up to you to follow and predict and anticipate what the singer will do. And it's actually really amazing when it happens well, because you don't know. It's like chamber. It's very much like chamber music. Now, you can't see them at all. It's even crazier because I can't see the singers. Usually in chamber music, you're close, you know, even playing a solo with an orchestra, you're close to the musicians. You see them, you know, you can predict, anticipate.
They're visual cues like breaths and head nods and things like that.
Yeah, you don't get any of that. So you have to go with your ears. And it's actually, it makes for exciting adventure sometimes and just really great music making other times.
How cool. Okay, now I'm going to go back to the John Williams piece. Are you still playing that?
Yeah, I am still playing Aaron's Simple Gifts, and it's being played. You know, people play it all the time. And actually, I just did it another performance of it this summer for John Williams' 80th birthday celebration at Tanglewood. So we did it. Almost all of the same musicians, Yo-Yo Ma, Gabriela Montero, and Gil Shaham actually played the violin part this summer. So that was pretty awesome. And of course, John Williams was there, and lots of other people were there too. And it was a very cool experience. Yeah, very fun.
Kid in America, John Williams. I mean, growing up here, I mean, Star Wars would not be Star Wars without him, right?
Yes. I went up to him at this reception after, and I met him actually, you know, 4 years ago. 4 years ago yesterday, I met him, the day before the inauguration. He came and he was there with us. But this time I actually got to talk to him and spend a little bit of time with him. I went over to him and I just gave him a big hug and I said, you know, you made everyone's life. You, like, no one in America, like, no one here, like, when we think of, like, our experience as children on up to it through adulthood, we think of, your music has given us a soundtrack. You know, every fun memory like that, I mean, you can... You know, every movie that we loved growing up, every movie that we loved as adults, you created those sounds for us, really. You know, and he was like, thank you very much. And he was very kind. He's very humble and quiet and a wonderful person. And, you know, that was my opportunity to say thank you from me, you know, just little old me. But it was amazing, you know.
And there's a tie-in to, I suppose, loosely, that there's that Simple Gifts, and there's Looking Back at Copland, and you're playing Copland tonight, so there's a lot of synergy today.
True, True. Yeah, definitely. There's totally a lot of, I mean, it's deep. I mean, you know, Copeland spent time at Tanglewood, and like, you know, there's all kinds of like connections there. It's kind of crazy when you think about. And actually, when asked to do this particular performance, I didn't really think of that either. You don't, you know. It's, but I think that's what made that piece, Aaron Simple Gifts, actually so wonderfully appropriate, I thought, for the last inauguration, is because, you know, this sound, Copeland sound, is somehow very American, and John Williams is, you know, American. It's in Hollywood, it's music, it's, you know, and you know, and so in this piece, for me as a clarinetist, for instance, Benny Goodman is very much a part of the American sound of music, being a great, you know, swing player. You know, I mean, this is, there are a lot of things coming together tonight, and it actually is wonderful that music kind of does that sometimes, or a lot of times. It connects a lot of different things together. It's the voice that of, it's a language, universal language, you know, obviously, you know, that comes from that, things connecting. And today is Martin Luther King Day, and the inauguration going on today. All of it together is so amazing.